back at WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the championship week around here, and we're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour over in Catonsville this weekend with our friends at State Fair. You find all that information out at BaltimorePositive.com. Of course, all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. And you buy two, you get two free, and you get 5 years, 0% financing. But you don't get to see into the windows of the souls of the Buffalo Bills fans, of the Dallas Cowboys fans, of these poor fans that made it all the way to the division weekend, home game, snow globe in Buffalo. Luke, what the hell happened to the Bills over the weekend? I thought they were winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I think of all the results from the divisional round, that easily is the most surprising. Not that I thought the Bengals couldn't win. I mean, we're talking about a team that went to the Super Bowl last year. Here in Baltimore and in Pittsburgh, there needs to be an acknowledgement. There's a new kid in town as far as running the AFC North the last couple of years. It is what it is.
Same uniforms, different hearts.
It is. I mean, whether you like them or not, and there's plenty of trash talk, and they're brash and bold, and in some ways kind of remind you of the old Ravens in terms of how they do a lot of talking, but they've backed it up. And going back to what I was just saying, the idea that Buffalo could lose to Cincinnati wasn't shocking, but considering the elements, considering they were playing at home, they look like? They kind of look like what the Miami Dolphins typically look like going to Buffalo, playing in the cold and the snow. Like they didn't look like they really wanted to be there. And clearly they wanted to win, but boy, a lot of missed tackles. They got beat up at the line of scrimmage on both sides.
Pushed around.
They really dominated them. I mean, they really did. I mean, it was 27-10, and that's not a blowout in the way that the Eagles blew out the Giants on Saturday night. But I mean, they controlled the game from start to finish. I mean, it was a couple points that looked like Buffalo had a chance to swing the momentum a little bit. But I mean, Cincinnati just, they took it to them. And I think what we talked about at this time last year is holding true again. That Bengals defense, while it doesn't blow you away statistically, at least in the regular season, they've stepped up. Look at how they played. Look at how they limited that Buffalo offense. So you have to give them a lot of credit. And I mean, Joe Burrow going on the road, winning another playoff game. So impressive. Really impressive. Again, if you tell me the Bengals beat the Bills, I'm not batting an eyelash over that. The Bengals were playing great football. Look at the long winning streak they had to close the regular season. But to do it in the fashion in which they did it so convincingly, I mean, that was impressive. That was, again, the Eagles had the biggest margin of victory of the weekend. And I mean, they dominated the Giants. But to do that on the road against Buffalo, considering the backdrop of DeMar Hamlin's there, everything they've gone through. I mean, the script was there, right, for Buffalo to be the team of destiny, and the Bengals squashed that idea very quickly on Sunday afternoon. So you have to give them credit. They go to Kansas City now, and they've beaten the Chiefs three times in a row. So,
and they don't care where they play. I mean, they just played on the North Pole. I mean, literally, yeah. Right? Like, once you go to the North Pole and you play like that and you throw the ball, he threw the ball 31 times in the first half in the snow.
Yeah. I mean, they made plays. I mean, Chase almost had the other touchdown that was overturned. I mean, what would have been a phenomenal play? But they made plays. I mean, 23 of 36, 242 yards, two touchdowns. I mean, that's bad weather quarterbacking right there. I mean, where you just say, I don't care what the elements are. I'm just going to go out there and make plays. And I've got great receivers, in Chase, and Hayden Hurst had a big game for them at the tight end position. So they went out and did it, and they ran the football too. That's the element. We talked about this early in the season when the Ravens played them in Week 5, that Sunday night game. What was one of the biggest issues for Cincinnati early in the season? Lots of talk about the two high looks they were having issues with that the Ravens still gave them some problems with at the end of the season, but they weren't running the football. Well, they ran the ball, and they ran the ball a lot on Sunday. So you have to give them credit. And
if your backup offensive line isn't great, but they can still road grade a little bit, and you can move the ball forward, and you can get a couple of first downs. You don't even need to score points or kick feet. Just to be able to prove you can move the ball a little bit. I mean, they got three-fifths of their offensive line out, And they went out there and dominated. Now, we talked about Von Miller a little bit in the broadcast and the differences of
right.
Bills from this Sunday versus the Bills we saw 13, 14 weeks ago, right? It was a long time ago that the Ravens played the Bills. That the difference makers in the skill position players still shine if you give them a second. Just give them a second, right? I mean, and the backup offensive line doing that. I mean, I stand and applaud what the Bengals are doing. And I tell you what, you love football. I love football. We've loved football all our lives. You know, Bengals at Chiefs this week. That's a good game. This is something to be looking forward to on Sunday afternoon.
No question about it. I mean, look what they did in the AFC Championship last year. I mean, that was a really good football game. And I mean, Cincinnati was behind in that game. And you're thinking, okay, well, Mahomes and the Chiefs back in the Super Bowl. No surprise there. And
they were still wearing Bengals jerseys last year. I watched that game at the Chaucer with my wife. I remember that because I was going to the Super Bowl and sort of, you know, who's going to be there and all that. And I'm like, the Bengals aren't allowed to go to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, there was a feeling about that. Whatever stigma you have about the Brown family or Marvin or Ken Anderson or Boomer Esiason or Booby Clark, you know, whatever Chris Collinsworth, take it all the way back, right? It's not your father's Bengals. I mean, they're winning games here now that really good teams do. And it snowed in January in Buffalo, and Buffalo was the best team. This is the dream scenario in Buffalo, right? Like, we're going to get them up here on our terms. That's everyone's fear. Is going to Buffalo in a snowstorm in January and having to play a team that has fundamentally been better than most of the other teams, Kansas City aside, the rest of the year. I mean, demoralizing does it begin to express my thoughts if I'm from Western New York right now. I mean, it's really disappointing for Bills fans, I think, specifically. And I guess, you know, the other side is the Bengals fans have been waiting forever. It makes me sort of root for the Bengals a little bit in some sort of strange way to, like, get this done, get it out of their system, because we're going to have to deal with them. And this Joe Burrow thing we're seeing now, it does make me wonder what they're thinking in Owings Mills in regard to, we have to deal with this.
Yeah. I mean, the entire division, Pittsburgh's having the same conversations right now. I mean, Joe Burrow has changed everything for the Bengals, and they have other good players. Let's be clear about that. But you have a guy like Joe Burrow. I mean, you've got a chance every single week, every single year. You know, he recently said it. You know, he doesn't view them as their window being wide open. He says his window is his entire career. And, you know, some people will love that. Some people hate that kind of talk. But, I mean, he's bold. He backs it up. He's won a national championship at the collegiate level, and he's a win away from going to back-to-back Super Bowls. So it's tough in that
and
way.
He even played defense last year against the Rams.
Yeah. Well, and again, that Cincinnati defense has been, you know, they've risen to the occasion in the postseason. And I get it. They lost to the Rams. It's not like they got blown out in the Super Bowl. It was a, you know, close game, one score game.
Yeah, I think that's given them a little bit of hunger that I think you and I have seen when Billy Cundiff missed the field goal. And next thing you know, we're having a parade 53 weeks later, right?
Yeah. Well, and what we've seen in recent years, however, is the Super Bowl hangover. No one's talking about that this year, right? I mean, everyone talks about the Super Bowl loser. How many times in recent years, go back to last 20 years, how often that team doesn't just fail to get back to the Super Bowl. A lot of times they don't even make the playoffs. And yet Cincinnati and guys like me who consider themselves really smart, but we're wrong all the time just because no one knows what's going to happen. By the way, I'm not very smart. That was a joke.
But, I think you're smart. But
I appreciate that. But the thought was, we kept looking at that second half of the Bengals schedule, right? We kept talking about that. Wow, it's a bear of a schedule. That's why I thought the Ravens were going to win the division before Lamar Jackson gets hurt, and, you know, go down the line of things that go down the list of things that Cincinnati looked like was going to be a problem for them. And they just kept winning and they kept winning and they kept winning. So, I mean, it's just really impressive on their part, but you said it. I mean, yeah, they miss Von Miller. There's no question about it for Buffalo, but that was not a good performance in terms of an under the hood type deal. When you consider where they were last year, that classic divisional round battle they had with Kansas City, you know, going back and forth, all the talk about overtime and changing the overtime rules and all that. I mean, it was set up for Buffalo to be that team to, you know, to have their vengeance, right? To have their, you know, their validation this year, so to speak.
I felt like it was their year long before DeMar Hamlin. I felt like, you know, they're credible. They've moved into that space.
Yeah, I mean, I think as it pertains to the AFC, and you know me, I'm a football nerd and looking at different analytics numbers. I mean, DVOA and EPA and all these different, you know, football power index for ESPN. Go down the list of all the different metrics you can find. They widely regarded Buffalo as the best team in the NFL. But I will say this, the eyeball test for the Bills later in the season, it hadn't looked as good. It hadn't looked as dominant as it had looked early in the season. Now, that didn't mean that, you know, they weren't going to win or make a run, but it was early on in the season where you looked at them and just said, wow, I mean, they look kind of sort of unbeatable overall, but you know, they didn't look quite as dominant there. And you can talk about Von Miller a lot, and I think that was a huge factor, no question, but what we saw on Sunday, that went beyond Von Miller. I mean, that was a game to me that wasn't impressed with what the Bills had under the hood, quite frankly. I mean, they were not very tough. Again, they look like a warm weather team coming to that environment and not wanting to be there, right? I mean, they look like a team that was kind of miserable in that way. But you know, I think the interesting thing,
Burrow looked a little bit like Jack Torrance at the end of The Shining a couple of times. He kind of had the permagrin going on from the cold. I mean, Burrow looked like he was hurting at the end. Like, literally. So did Josh Allen. He was all bloody and, like, I mean, that was one for the ages. You know what I mean? I've sat out in the snow at playoff games. I've gone to 100 playoff games on the road in good weather, bad weather. That was kind of an all-timer because those were two – not that Kansas City might not be the best team, and they may prove that at home next week, but I felt like this was heavyweights. Luke, you and I talked about this after the DeMar Hamlin injury. That was a Monday night game that, like, I thought was the game of the year, kind of.
Right.
We had special food. We had a bottle of wine picked. We were into that game, and then it stopped, and obviously all that happened, sure. That rematch, boy, it's like, I guess, Ollie Frazier, you know, you look at all of them and say, where are they on the spectrum? Boy, this is one where the Bills – and the Stephon Diggs thing, right? I mean, I know he had Turp and all, but not a good look in the – I mean, it feels like they're – we have our own problems here with our quarterback and Lion press conference. We have our own issues here. But up in Buffalo, when this kind of disappointment happens, and you mention what happens after you get beat, Cincinnati, bird up, and here they are. You know, Bills are building a stadium, and they are the – don't tell anybody. They're the only thing that matters in West – I mean, they, like – they're a really big deal there in every household, and the drama in the aftermath of this could eat them up a little bit.
Well, I mean, you have that, and you just have the factor of they have paid their quarterback. We know that once a quarterback is making that elite, top-shelf kind of money, not that you're done or anything like that, but we know that roster building becomes more and more challenging as time goes on. I mean, they gave Josh Allen his contract in what, August of 2021. And now, you know, those cap numbers are, you know, you have to account for that. That doesn't mean you can't still have a really good team, but it does become more challenging. That's why Cincinnati right now, yeah, the message there has to be, the urgency has to be there to do that right now. Not that they're not going to re-sign Joe Burrow or anything like that. But we know how this works.
The announcers are all like, oh, Burrow to Chase, this is going to be a thing for – well, I don't know. I mean,
maybe.
Are we going to have a $61 million quarterback? Because that's where it's going to be. And then you're going to have a $38 million wide receiver. Like, and they're both going to be 28, not 23. Like, you better win. I'm
right
with you, dude, because it sounds like it's together for a long time. And, hey, as Ed Reed turns down the Bethune-Cookman thing, and I think about – Reed, Lewis, Suggs, how they kept it together here, how they only had two coaches here, how they only had one general manager here. You know, this is where the Duke Tobins and the Mike Browns and the Brown family and the Bengals and whatever the Bills are going to be with the Pegulas, they haven't won anything. I mean, what have they proven, right, as an ownership group and how to hold this thing together and hold players together? I mean, the Rams are a great example. You talk about the hangover going the other way. I mean, it falls apart quickly, and we might be finding that out in 5.5 weeks here when Lamar's wearing a Dolphins helmet and we've got draft picks all of a sudden, right, and cap space.
Yeah, I mean, who knows how that's going to play out, but it's why I said at the time of when they lost to Tennessee in January of 2020, people – and I understood.
Ravens, you were really mopey that day because you
Ravens,
like – You thought
Well,
we might be 3 years here and not get back. Literally,
I mean,
right?
that's the thing. And I understood why people said it at the time, because everyone was so devastated. I mean, that was as disappointing of a playoff loss. And people will say Billy Cundiff, but yeah, that was right there at the AFC Championship. For me, that felt so much like Ravens Indy 2006. You know, I mean, a team that was great in the regular season. And, you know, it's so easy just to try to tell yourself, because you're bummed. Right? It's so easy to tell yourself, well, they'll be back. They were a year ahead of schedule. And we're hearing the same kind of things about the Orioles right now with the rebuild. And, well, they might have been a year ahead. They're not ready to spend. And
hold on. Every team this weekend that lost, Jacksonville, the Giants, right? Maybe the Cowboys. I mean, they got 30 more years to wait as far as I'm concerned. But these teams that have a young quarterback that, you know, I don't know if you believe in Daniel, my brother, or not, but certainly you believe in Trevor Lawrence, right? So for these losing teams, their fan base, I mean, the Jaguars fan base is, hey, we're on to something. Let's buy some tickets. Let's buy some hope. Let's, you know, let's buy a piece of that. That was easy to sell 3 years ago when we had a 22-year-old MVP quarterback that spit up in San Diego. Or were they? No, they were in. No, they were in L.A. They were the Chargers.
Yeah.
You know, like when they came in and beat you the first time, but the Titans thing getting run over, that was, we need to build our defense now, right? So the pendulum swings back and forth for how we got beaten. To your point with the Bills, they got beaten across the board, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, the overall point is nothing's guaranteed. You know, and this is why, when you talk about rebuilding, like I mentioned, the Orioles, just in passing, I don't want to change the topic, but we always think of this process as being linear, right? Like it's some gradual progression. All right, you're going to win 9 games this year, and then it's going to be 10 next year, and then it's going to be 12 the following, and hey, we're going to win a Super Bowl after that. I mean, it's not
algebra two.
I mean, think about it. I mean, the Ravens know this better than anyone. In 2000, I mean, they hadn't even had a winning season. They hadn't been to the playoffs. Right, I mean, they benched their quarterback halfway through the season, and
they wouldn't let him say the word. Let's get that out for the kids.
They went 5 straight games without scoring a touchdown. I mean, all these different things, and then boom, they won the Super Bowl. And the following year, Jamal Lewis tears his ACL first week of training camp, and you know they had let some guys go because they tried to keep the band together for one more run, and that's fine. But we saw how that played out. They made it into the playoffs. They won one game and then got their feelings hurt in Pittsburgh. I mean, you know, this can be so fleeting. I mean, you mentioned Jacksonville. How about the fact that 5 years ago, Jacksonville got to the AFC Championship with Blake Bortles? At the time, there was probably a lot of excitement about where they were going. Well, it was a one-time thing. And that's not to say that Trevor Lawrence is going to repeat that. I think a lot of Trevor Lawrence, but you don't know how this is going to go. And especially when you start talking about where the Bills are, where the Ravens are, even Kansas City, you know, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, even though they're probably going to have to be redoing his deal in the next year or two anyway, because he's underpaid relative to all the deals since then. You know,
I'll be talking to Lee Steinberg about that at some point.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have to tear that up. I mean, people were impressed by the total of the deal, but the average annual value, you know, Mahomes is still underpaid. I mean, that's how good he is, even on a bum ankle on Saturday. But you know, you have to take advantage, because you just don't know how it's going to play out. And you know, we've talked about this a lot with the Ravens, and we'll get into it. We'll have a discussion about what we heard at the season ending press conference. But, you know, this can be so fleeting, and all it can take is a couple bad decisions, a couple injuries. I mean, in the Ravens case, and you know, other teams that were impacted by COVID and just how crazy that made that season. I mean, when the Ravens were coming back from their 14-2 and they're lost to the Titans. But I mean, you have to take advantage, and that's where you give Cincinnati some credit here. As much as they have done plenty of chirping to the point where I think it's turned off a lot of people in terms of them complaining about how the league handled, you know, all these different scenarios and all the talk about a neutral site AFC championship game. And to be clear, they had a point as far as some of their beef. I think they did, but when you consider how much public complaining they did, considering
I'll
the
tell
circumstances.
You what, dude, if they go out to Kansas City, kick their ass right now, they've done something to go on the road and do this and do it as the bad guys and do it with the cigars and do it with the, we got screwed and we still won. How about that? What are you going to do to us next? You know?
And I mean, but they need to feel the urgency, because, you know, you mentioned it, they were talking about it on the broadcast, and you know, what's going to happen with a Jesse Bates who played on the tag this year? You know, what's going to happen with other free agents they have. You know, at Joe Burrow, this offseason is the first time that they can potentially pay him. What are they going to do? How's that going to impact the rest of the market? You know, that'll tie in with Lamar. That'll tie in with Justin Herbert. I mean, it becomes more difficult as you go on to try to keep it together. That's why for Buffalo, I mean, this had to be devastating. Not that they're going to fall apart, but you just don't know. This felt like, to me, their best chance. Their window wasn't going to be more open than it was this year for them. And for them to lay the egg that they did, credit Cincinnati. But boy, it's going to be a long offseason in Western New York. There's no question about that.
The chalk doesn't always hold up. Yeah, I love how we just did a 20-minute segment about the championship games and didn't even mention that the championship games in Philadelphia. I love that. Luke can be reached at Baltimore. Luke, they will be playing a championship game in Philadelphia against a third-string quarterback. Not ideal, but certainly one of my mom's favorite words was Purdy. She'd say, "Oh, that's Purdy." So every time we see Brock Purdy, we think of my mom. So fly, Niners, fly. I don't have a dog in the hunt, the Niners and the Eagles. Luke and I are going to be dissecting all things John Angelos, Orioles offseason, spring training, Super Bowl coming up in 2 weeks in Arizona, and, of course, all things Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking football. Baltimore positive. We got Rebecca Hoffberger this week. We got Crab Cake Tour this week over at State Fair. We got a lot of things going on. Stick around with us. It's going to be a good winter here. We'll keep you warm at WNST and BaltimorePositive.com.